Thank you for allowing us to share the ministry of the living waters for the world with you. All through the Bible are stories of water and its importance for life. The scripture from John speaks of living water. We understand that Jesus was speaking in a symbolic way, alluding to the spiritual nourishment that can be found only in and through him. And yet, we are a people of the incarnation, a people who believe that God came to us in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. He came to us in a physical as well as a spiritual sense, loving our bodies as well as our souls. So, in a very real sense, it is the duty of every Christian to care for both the spiritual and the physical health of the people of the world.
Today, there is a world water crisis that threatens the lives of millions of our brothers and sisters, most of them children. I recently read an article in the ASME magazine, that's the American Society of Mechanical Engineers, stating that millions lack access to clean water and most are under the age of 5. So it's no secret that the world does indeed face a world water crisis. Living Waters for the World offers one solution to this crisis. Their model is based on the belief that God empowers people of faith to be agents of change, and everyone who feels called to this ministry has a role to play. They have partnered with communities all over the globe, establishing more than 800 water treatment systems that transform contaminated water into pure, safe water.
While the water treatment systems are central to this ministry, Living Waters for the World is about more than pipes and filters and water tests. It is about real people. It is about relationships. We're going to share from some slides from our recent work in the Dominican Republic. We'll take you to Los Chiquitines de Jehi, a mission school in El Cajon, introduce you to some of the people we worked with, and show you some of the children who will receive the benefits of the water treatment system we installed.
When we saw how the sunbeam showed up in this picture, we had to call it Blessings from Heaven. It was taken on our first day at the school in El Cajon, where we were to install the system. And who can forget the sailor's adage, red skies in the morning, sailors take warning, red skies at night, sailors delight. This beautiful sunset, seen as we left Santo Domingo on our way to Jarabacoa, near El Cajon, seemed to foreshadow a good week ahead. Our host, Joel, has been a missionary and director of the YWAM for at least 20 years. He is also our contact person in the DR. He finds places like communities and schools that need a water treatment system and connects us to them. When we talked with him last week, we learned he was visiting another school that is a candidate for a system. This compound was our home away from home for the week. The dining and relaxation areas are on the lower level, and we bunked in cabins across the yard from the building. YWAM, Youth with a Mission, is a global non-denominational ministry that trains and prepares youth and young adults for mission work. Here you see us in the dining hall where we enjoyed great meals all week long. The food was delicious, as is evidenced by the clean plates on the table. Some of the group are relaxing in the lounge area while getting ready for our daily devotions. On Sunday morning, we attended worship at Joel's church near Jarabacoa. The people were friendly and the music was lively. And because there were several English-speaking mission groups present, the service was translated into English, a bonus for us. Each day, we were greeted by beauty. Tropical flowers, coconut palms, and beautiful mountains were part of everyday life. But in the midst of this beauty was great poverty. Here you see the rooftops of the houses in the neighborhood of the school. Note that most are corrugated tin and are patched and rusted. This is typical of that village in El Cajon. Under the tin roofs that you saw in the previous slide are houses like this one. Electricity is available, but it's unreliable in villages like El Cajon. Many houses are dark inside, like this one on the left. Those who have electricity may have no more than a single light bulb hanging from the ceiling, and electricity is very expensive. As for reliability, it can go off any time of the day or night with no advanced warning. Access to water is the same. Water in El Cajon comes from a mountain cistern that provides water to several communities down the slope. Depending on the amount of rainfall, each community may get water only once every 3 days. Families may get their water from an outside spigot, like the one pictured here at the school. When we were ready to test the system, the water is also unreliable. Water to El Cajon had been off for 2 days, and there was not enough pressure for the water to reach the raw water tank on the roof of the building. So we had to form a bucket brigade to haul up water to the ladder and pour it in the tank.
This is the school, Los Chiquitines de Jehi. It began in the small red building in the foreground. That building housed the preschool when we visited a year ago. The building in the background was just one story at that time and housed grades 1 through 4. We were told then that their goal was to expand so that eventually they could house preschool through grade 6, and they're well on their way to realizing that goal. They were roofing the added second story while we were there. We were really surprised when we drove into the schoolyard and it's like, oh, there's a second story on the building now. When we first arrived at the school, Shehada, founder and principal of the school, took us on a tour. Shehada gets much of the credit for getting the school going and for much of its progress. The name of the school, Los Chiquitines de Jehi, means the children of Jehi, and it's a tribute to her. You'll meet Rudy, her husband, later. He worked with the installation team and will be the primary operator of the water treatment system. He was first introduced to us last year as the school leader. We'd probably call him a superintendent. Together, they make an unbeatable team. The school operates 2 sessions. Preschool meets in the morning and 1st through 5th in the afternoon. We visited a couple of classes, Rosalie's class of 3-year-olds on the bottom right and a kindergarten class. Rosalie's class did a song and dance for us, which you'll see in a video near the end, and the kindergarten students shyly told us their names. These students went out for recess twice each morning. One morning, as Rich was in the schoolyard working on the electrical box, each student stopped and waved, going both ways. He had to wave right back as each one would stop, look him in the eye, and wait until he made eye contact and waved back. Consequently, it took all morning to do a simple electrical box. Living Waters for the World includes 3 programs in their model: leadership, education, and installation. The purpose of the education program is to provide the community receiving a system with critical information on basic hygiene and on the use of the purified or safe water. Posters that illustrate these important principles hang in the classroom wall throughout the week, and they're in Spanish, and are later hung on the water building as a reminder to everyone as they pick up their bottles of water. The students in our classes will be teaching these principles to others in the community. The education classes were scheduled for the afternoon because our students were the teachers in the preschool, and they were busy teaching their classes in the morning. We spent our mornings finalizing preparations for the day's lessons. That was kind of a bonus too. We pretty much planned on being ready every day at the beginning of the day. At the end of the week, we left behind an education manual in Spanish and copies of many of the activities that we had worked on during the week. As I gave these materials to Jehada, she assured me that our students would soon be busy teaching others. As part of our health and hygiene emphasis, we teach how to use the safe water and how the raw water is purified and made safe by filters. On the left, the students are holding posters that designate them as parts of the water treatment systems. On the right, Dave Burgess represents contaminated water, and he began with orange bacteria stickers stuck to his blue shirt. He passes through the filters, and they pick off those bacteria stickers, demonstrating how the filters purify the water. Here you can see he's almost through the filters, and they have removed most of the orange duct tape. Living Waters for the World has begun using the term safe in place of clear or clean or purified water, because safe is more clearly translated by the many different Spanish dialects. We also emphasize in our lessons that though clear water looks clean, it is often contaminated. The water you saw coming from the spigot at the school building in a earlier slide was definitely contaminated. The tests on it turned black in less than 48 hours. In addition to health and hygiene, water stories from the Bible are an important part of the education model. We do one every day. Education is enhanced by reenactments. I'll bet you can guess which Bible story is being reenacted here. Anybody want to guess?
Cool.
How about Moses and crossing of the Red Sea? They loved that one. The education class oversaw the making of two handprint banners. One will remain at the school, and one came back to John Calvin Presbytery with us. Everyone involved in the installation education and many of the students in the school put his or her handprint on the two banners and then printed their name beside it. The banner that we brought back is hanging in the parlor, and we hope you'll take time to look at it there.
Installation. The install team gathers in Hoel's truck, ready to begin a day's work. Every project starts with a trip to the ferreteria, the hardware store, to order parts we cannot take with us, like 250-gallon storage tanks and the pipe. Everything we purchased was loaded into Hoel's truck, and after a break for lunch, we headed to the school and began cleaning the tanks. The storage tanks that we bought at the ferreteria have been cleaned, sanitized, and installed on the roof of the water building. The raw water tank is on the left, and the pure water or safe water tank is on the right. Both tanks are about 250 gallons. The students, while at the school, will use the safe water produced by the system, and parents will take home 5-gallon bottles of water for family use. There are approximately 80 students in the school. We build the system in subsystems so that all the components are aligned and affixed to the board. On left, the primary filter, the water meter, and the pump, which is basically hidden, are the first subsystem, and they've been assembled and fixed to the board. On the right is the filtration and purification system. This first filter is a 5-micron filter. That's the pore size, like through your a fabric, and the second one is a 0.5 micron filter. That's 100 times smaller than the human hair. It filters out, this part of the system filters about 99.7% of the bacteria in the water, but it's still not pure enough for babies. So the last part of the system is what we call the churn, the ozone generator, and the venturi. Ozone is introduced into the system, into the water flow through the venturi, and is bubbled through all of those pipes to do the final step of purification. Here you see the bottle cleaning and filling stations. You have to do a little imagination, like a deep sink on the wall near there. The bottles are thoroughly cleaned and disinfected before being filled with the safe water from the system. There are two spigots here. That one's where we clean them, and this is where we fill them. And this part of the system has one extra part to it. That part will eventually go to a kitchen that is being built in the school so that they will have safe water in the school. And now we meet Rudy, the school leader and primary operator of the new water treatment system. I am teaching him the operation, bookkeeping, and maintenance of the system, and I'm preparing a log of the initial readings for the system prior to Rudy's first operation. The log assists him in knowing how well the system is operating, when to stop filling the safe water tank, and when to change the filters. Those big blue filters usually last for about 100,000 gallons. That should easily be enough to get through the school year.
Celebrate. Every installation is celebrated, and Los Chincatinas de Jehi was no exception. The students are gathered with the local educators, the local installers, and the John Calvin Living Waters team. The celebration is actually a brief worship service led by several members of the team. Here, Rich is thanking the students, the teachers, and the parents for their hospitality, and Rosalie, standing beside him, interprets. The 5-gallon blue bottle in the middle holds the safe water produced by the system earlier that day. Rudy and team members fill the students' glasses, actually everybody's glasses, with the purified, safe water for all the students. Everyone raises their glasses like a toast in thanksgiving for the successful installation of the Living Waters for the World water treatment system. And finally, everyone drinks the water produced by the new system. Every day in this world, more than 2,000 children die from waterborne disease. These children will not be among them. This banner was left with the school as a reminder of our covenant relationship. At the bottom of this banner, there are handprints from the Springfield Trinity Presbyterian Sunday School in Springfield. These classes contributed significant amount of money and bought several parts of the system. So as we displayed the system to them, we had them do their handprints. The second banner is the one that is on display in the parlor. In the story of the Samaritan woman at the well, Jesus offers living water. But when we look more closely at the story, we see in verse 7 that first Jesus says to the woman, "Give me a drink." He offers her the water of eternal life, but first he asks her to give him a drink of water to satisfy his very real physical need. In the Matthew 25 scripture we read, "Lord, when did we see you thirsty and give you something to drink?" And we all remember his answer. "Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Jesus lives today. He is living among the least of these all over the world in countries like Guatemala, India, the Dominican Republic. And through their voices, Jesus says to us, "Give me a drink." Amen.